Good. Sophie, we're really glad to see you. I'm not much of a preacher, but I can't sing at all. So thank you for coming to Lurgan. We do appreciate you making the effort and coming tonight. And we're going to let you share with us now. Thanks.
I apologise for being late. I ended up in Lisburn Baptist, so I apologise. I'm from Mahara and I'm blonde, so not that surprising.
Grace of God has reached for me, and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on this solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Who is left? My hope is hidden in the Lord. He flowers each promise of His word. And winter fades, I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew these days. The Lord is my salvation.
Thank you, Sophie, for your ministry to us tonight. Will you sing one of the last verse? Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's come before the Lord. Thank you tonight, O God, that the Lord is our salvation. You remember that Jonah did say, salvation is of the Lord. And so, Lord, as we turn and look at your word just now, we pray that its pages would shine before us. We pray as we exalt the man of Calvary that sinners would come to know the Savior for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of the Hebrews. The book of the Hebrews, chapter 9. There's one little word that has been coming before me from Morris, phoned in the middle of the week one day to say that Ian couldn't come. And asked if I would speak tonight, which is a privilege. And we're turning to, first of all, three verses. And first of all, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, a couple of pages over in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter in chapter 3. As we link these verses together in the gospel tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For Christ also hath suffered once for sin. Now we're going into the Old Testament for our final reading. It's in the book of Job, just before the book of the Psalms, the book of Job. In chapter 33, I couldn't understand when there's a wee fella going to the meeting why the preachers didn't read it all in the order to come in the Bible. I understand now, of course, but Job 33 and verse 14. Job 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaketh once, yea, twice. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us tonight. Of course, you'll see that it's the little word once that I've been thinking about. O-N-C-E, once. Once means, in the English dictionary, on one occasion, just a once. Or then, as we refer to it in the past tense, at one time in the past, the little word once. And so I want to think about it like this tonight, very simply and very quickly, and not too long tonight. I want to think about once today. That's what the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us. It is appointed unto men once today. Once today, a soul that will never be returned. Once today, a soul that will never be returned. Then Peter says that Christ once suffered for sin, a sacrifice that never will be repeated, a sacrifice never to be repeated, because Christ died once. And there's enough in the blood of Calvary and the great debt that was paid on Calvary that great day 2,000 years ago. It never has to be repeated, once for all. Once to die, a soul that will never be returned. Once suffered for sin, a sacrifice that will never need to be repeated. And then Job says that God speaks once. God speaks once, a voice that will never be re-echoed. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us this, that is appointed unto men once to die, a soul that will never be returned. In the human being, each of us tonight are human beings, and each of us are made up of three parts. We're made up of body and soul and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. This body that each of us possess, this is our body. It mightn't be pretty for some of us. It might look all right from the back, but then when you're looking at it from the front, maybe it's a little different. Some is prettier than others. But it's our body, and it's our body that we look after. I was thinking about it like this. When we're hungry, when our body's hungry, we feed it. Some of us feed it too much, but anyway, when we're hungry, we feed it. And then when it's tired, we rest it. Our bodies get tired, and our bodies get weary, and so we lay down, or we go to bed, or whatever it is. When our bodies get dirty, after a day's work, you men who work out in the farm or out on the site or whatever it is, when it gets dirty, you come, you go to the shower, you go to the bath, you clean it, you keep it clean, our body. And so the human being is made up of body. And then the human being is made up of spirit. or a spirit. Our spirit is that part of our body to which the conscience belongs. Our feelings, our intellect, and all those different things belong to our spirit. And our spirit will live the lifetime of God. The lifetime of God. And then within this spirit and within this body, there dwells a soul. And it's what we do with our soul that will determine our eternal destiny. Do you remember how it tells us way back in the early part of the Bible, way back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, how God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our body possesses the very breath of God. Amazing, isn't it? To think that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, how he must have formed him, his head, his features, his torso, his legs, and so on. And then God actually breathed. He actually breathed into Adam's nostrils. The breath of God filled Adam's nostrils, and at that moment, man was born. Man became a living soul. Each of us possess the breath of God. And it's what we do with our soul that determines our eternal destiny. As we read our Bibles, we can very soon find out that it's just two places of where the soul can exist in eternity. It can exist, of course, as we know, in heaven. There in that golden street and the many mansions that the Lord Jesus told of in John chapter 14. But to enter heaven, you must be born again. You remember the hymn writer said, you must be born again or never enter heaven. It's only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. And it's only the redeemed, blood-bought people of God who will walk the golden streets and who'll enter the gates of heaven. There's no doubt about that. And then the scriptures tells us that if we die without Christ, that then our eternal destiny is hell and then the lake of fire forever. Hell. Bishop Ryle of Liverpool, that godly man, called hell the prison house of despair. It's a place where the worm dies not and where the fire is not quenched. And any of us that were here on Tuesday night, the hair stood on the back of my head as I listened to Johnny Amarod tell us about the great white throne judgment. And how those that die without Christ will die and go to hell. And how they'll be lifted out of hell to stand before the great white throne on the great judgment day. John says, as he writes in the Revelation, that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And they were judged out of their works according to the book. And Johnny told us in graphic detail on Thursday night of how those of us that are saved and those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand afar off. And we'll watch that queue as it comes to the judgment seat. People that we've known. Neighbors. Friend, or colleagues, and they're standing before the great white throne. We wouldn't sleep in our, we shouldn't be sleeping in our beds if it really hit us the way it should. They'll stand before the great white throne and then to be banished, to be cast into the lake of fire forever, to go to eternity. That endless, ceaseless, unending period of time, eternity. 10,000 years is just a drop in the bucket of God's eternity. The poet said, I stood on the shores of time and said, eternity, eternity, where art thou, eternity? It's appointed unto men once to die. The hillsides and the graveyards of Ulster tonight remind us of that we have once to die. The Bible tells us so much about the shortness of our life, tells us about how it's a tale that's told. And then in James, you remember, he asks that great question, what is your life? And then he answers it like this. He says, it's just like a vapor. Just appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Just a moment. The tale is told. Swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Do you remember that young man in Luke chapter 16 who had fared sumptuously every day, and then life went, that vapor of life disappeared, that mist of life went very quickly. He ended up in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and asked for just one drip of water to cool his tongue in the torment of that flame. You see, our life is short. Adam lived 930 years. Noah lived 950 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. But yet, it's just a drop in the ocean of great God's great eternity. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, he said, what shall it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his soul? And then he asked this great question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul that each of us have inside our being tonight is the most important thing that we have. Nothing to do with money in the bank or the square foot of the house or anything that got the possessions in life. What we possess within ourselves, our soul, will determine what we do with our soul that will land us in heaven or hell. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Once to die, a soul that will never be returned. But Peter says this. He says, Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He suffered once. That was a sacrifice that will never have to be repeated. You see, these Old Testament sacrifices that we read of in the minor prophets, first of all in the book of Exodus and so on, through Leviticus and then into the minor prophets, these sacrifices of old had to be repeated. They were never enough. They never satisfied God in any particular way. There were sacrifices and they offered daily, and then there was monthly sacrifices, and then there was times of the year when there were special feasts and great events when more sacrifices were offered. So much so that when we come into the minor prophets, Amos and so on, those minor prophets tell us of how the altars of Israel reeked and stank with blood. Such was this time after time after time ritual of these sacrifices daily and weekly and yearly. But they only covered sin. They never forgive one sin. They covered it. And then they had to go again. Do you remember way back in Genesis end in chapter 22? Do you remember when Abraham and Isaac were climbing Mount Moriah? Do you remember how Isaac had prayed for a lifetime for a son, and God had promised him? He says, your seed will be like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the seashore. And he was 100 years of age when Isaac was born. And then God said to him, take your son, the only son Isaac, whom you love, take him to Moriah. And Abraham and Isaac, they climbed the mountain, and as they climbed the mountain, that young man said to his father, he says, we have the wood and the fire for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb? What a question. And Abram said, God will provide himself a lamb. And you remember that the altar was built at the top of Mount Moriah, and Abram lifted the knife to plunge it into his son's heart, and God stopped him. And there was a ram, and he was caught in the hedge by the thorns so that there would be no blemish on him for the sacrifice. And Abram said God would provide a lamb. And you know, down through the generations of time, and I wander down through the corridors of time in Israel and through God's people, did this echo for generations and generations? God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And then that great day when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus on the banks of the Jordan, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. And that's what he done. He went to Calvary. Roman soldiers nailed God's son to a cross of wood, knit a crown of thorns and placed it upon his head, nailed him to a cross. The hymn writer said, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross he raised as a multitude gaze on the blast lamb of dark Calvary." And from 9 o'clock in the morning to noonday, there was those who stood around the cross and observed the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. The heat of the Israel, of the land of Palestine's sun, as it baked upon that blood-stained body on the cross. And then at the sixth hour at 12 noon, there's a darkness over all the land. And in the darkness, alone God poured upon his son and punished his son. And the great wrath of God was poured upon his son upon the cross. And in the darkness, he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And alone, he bore the wrath. Alone, he bore the pain. Alone, he bore the punishment of the great sin of this world. What a debt. Our debt was laid on him. Alone. Greatest of mystery. Moment of history. Scheduled and planned in counsels divine. Human extremity. Unfailing remedy. Love evermore. In its fullness doth shine. Calvary. From the depths of his being, he cried, "I thirst." Yet he made the ocean. He cried, "I thirst." Yet he made the sea. And then the great victory cry from the cross came, finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. The great price, the great pardon of sin was paid upon the cross. The great work was complete. God was satisfied. The graves shook, the earth shook, the graves were open. The veil of the temple was rent in twain and two from the top to the bottom. The great happenings at Calvary, when Christ paid the great price of redemption for us. Once. That's why Peter's saying, Christ also suffered once for sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Once for all, sinner believe it. Once for all, sinner receive it. Cling to the cross, your burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. He died to settle all. And on the third day, God rose him. He rose from the tomb. And if he died to settle all, well, then he rose to prove that all was settled. We have a living Savior tonight. Because 40 days later, he led his disciples out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands to bless them. And as he done that, he was taken up to heaven. And there was those that stood there, and the angels came, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why gazing up? Why you stand gazing up to heaven?" He says, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." And 2,000 years has passed. And as David Cameron told us this morning, our prayer should be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming soon. It may be at morn, or it may be at night, or noon, but I know, and we know, he's coming soon. I wonder, you're in the meeting tonight and you're not yet saved. And I wonder, does the reality of the Lord's coming again grip you tonight? Maybe those that watch online tonight. And all the happenings in the world around us, COVID and the restrictions upon us, and vaccinations and everything else, I tell you, the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Peter says he suffered once for sin. A sacrifice that will never be repeated. And so, the writer to Hebrews reminds us that it's appointed on the man once to die, a soul that will never be returned. Peter says he once suffered for sin, a sacrifice that will never be repeated. Job says this, God speaks once, yeah, twice, a voice that will never be re-echoed. I wonder, is God speaking tonight? I wonder, does God speak? I wonder, has God spoken to you, unsaved person, unsaved friend, in the days that are past? Then you say to me, how does God speak? How does God speak? Well, God speaks to us through his word. What about that wee faithful man who gave you a track? Maybe in the market, or maybe going into the football match or something like that. There's a dear old saint and he just handed you the track. Maybe you stuffed it in your pocket, you see, and you went in and you watched the match. Or you went about the market and you'd done your business or whatever it was. And then maybe there was a time where the track was taken out and you started to read it. And you seen the story and the track and you seen the verses. And then your mind began to work. Aye, God speaks once. God speaks once. Maybe you were driving along the road someday. Maybe you were going round a bit of a bend and maybe there was a tree in front of you. Maybe you were sitting at the T-junction, you looked right, there was traffic coming, you looked left, there was traffic coming. And there at the T-junction, there was a tree, there was a pole in front of you. And some old saint had just hammered the text with a knife, with a hammer and the nail onto the tree. Jesus saves. Maybe you just seen it. Just a second or two now. Maybe your mind began to work. Maybe you began to think about the cross and all that you were told and days that are past. God speaks once. Maybe you're driving along the road. Maybe you're doing your daily work. And maybe, you know, that little chorus comes into your mind that your granny taught you when you used to sit on her knee. Or some old faithful Sunday school teacher, as you sat as a wee boy or wee girl, and as a Sunday school teacher sat with her arm around you, and you used to sing that little chorus, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. God speaks once. That's an opportunity now. God speaks twice. That's a privilege. And man perceiveth it not. Maybe God's been speaking to you in times that are past. And he not always do. Sometimes there comes a time when you have got your opportunity and God has spoken once and then he's spoken twice. You know, one of the saddest stories in the Bible, it's a story concerning King Herod. and their time's gone, and so we haven't the time to go into the whole story tonight. But, you know, Herod threw a great party, and he got drunk. And his stepdaughter came in and danced this dance in front of him, and Herod's heart was merry. And he was too far gone. And when men are too far gone, they say things that they regret. And Herod told this young girl that he would give her up to half the kingdom, whatever she wanted. And being influenced by her mother, and we haven't time to go to the story tonight, John the Baptist, the Lord's cousin, was in prison in one of his dungeons. And their mother influenced her, and she asked Herod for the head of John the Baptist. And Herod's heart was sore and sad. But the Bible says, because of his word, he let it be so. And just a few months later, during the trial of the Lord Jesus, he was sent to Pilate, the Lord was sent to Pilate, and then Pilate sent him to this man, to Herod. And the Bible tells us that Herod was glad when he saw the Lord, exceedingly glad, because he wanted maybe the Lord to do a miracle, see a miracle in front of him. And so he, Luke 23 tells us that he questioned him with many questions, with many words. And verse 9 says this is sad now. But the Lord answered him nothing. God speaks once. God speaks twice. And man perceiveth it not. And maybe you're in this church tonight, and maybe this is your opportunity. Or maybe you're listening online tonight, over the internet tonight. And maybe this is your opportunity. This God speaking. He speaks once, twice, but don't turn it away. O come, sinner, come. Salvation's free for all. It may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. God speaks once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. One life, much sin, one cross, one redemption. One decision. Decide for Christ tonight. Lord, we pray in the final moments of this meeting that the devil's work would be defeated. We know that when the seed is sown, that then comes the devil to steal away the seed, lest they should believe and be saved. And O God, we pray that his work would be defeated tonight. And whether it's in this sanctuary tonight or online, O God, we pray, O God, that thou would spring to saving grace. That you would speak, O God, with a voice that wakes the dead. That the light of the glorious gospel would shine into some heart tonight, Lord. Give someone the courage to take the step as we asked for thy help to Sophie as she brings her final piece. Lord, may when the preacher's voice is silent, may God's voice be heard and may salvation come, we ask. For Christ's sake. Amen. Sophie's going to come and bring a final piece to us. Thank you for that, Sophie. And then maybe it's good to see my dad in tonight. Maybe he'll bring the meeting to a close after that. Thanks.
Ourselves to thee just now in the Savior's name. Amen.